Robbie, thanks for leading our singing tonight. We appreciate the work that's done with our young men to help them to learn to lead in our worship services and in other ways. This congregation has been blessed over the years with some outstanding song leaders. But you know, every generation grows older. And if we just take it for granted that that will take care of itself, it won't. And we have some young men like Robbie that are talented in the area of music and singing. And we appreciate the fact that they're beginning to develop to where they can lead in our services, and we appreciate you leading tonight. We're glad to have FH and Becky in our home this week. If we could just get them to smile. You can't be around F.H. and Becky without having a positive attitude and feeling better about yourself. And we count it a pleasure to be able to have them in our house throughout the week. I mentioned to you this morning that tonight I wanted us to think about the little phrase, really a statement, I guess, put on Christ. It is a phrase in the verse itself because it's part of a fuller sentence. But it could become a command, it could become a sentence in and of itself. When you think of those words, put on Christ, what do you think about? I was sitting in your class Wednesday night, Brother Whittle, and you talked about putting on Christ, and I sat there and outlined this lesson for tonight in the main, not all of it while you were talking. But at least the ideas, and took it from there. I already had another lesson planned for tonight. So you are responsible for this lesson. If it works out to where it doesn't go over well, I'll especially emphasize that. I appreciate suggestions that are made. In fact, the lesson this morning was prompted by a suggestion from Ron Butterfield after last Sunday's lesson. And the comments that you make to me are very important to me. I'm interested in preaching in such a way that those in the congregation, those in the pew, get something that they can take home with them. If that's not done, the sermon is not worth anything. And I appreciate your comments, not only the comments that are such of an encouraging nature to me, but comments of how we can improve or how we can include other lessons or how we can go about studying the Word of God. And so tonight I want to think for just a few minutes on those words. Put on Christ. And I want to do two things to help us to understand that statement. One is to share with you three different translations of those words, three other translations other than the ones that you and I normally read. One of them says that as many as have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. And I have made the statements along that line many times, and others have too, that we believe that this is the idea that's involved here, the idea of putting on Christ to wear him. And it's interesting that at least one translation translates it like that. That when we become Christians, each one of us ought then to be clothed with Christ. Another translation said that those who have been baptized into Christ have taken on the character of Christ. I like that translation. Have taken on the character of Christ. You see, we have a tendency to take on the character of those with whom we associate. I think sometimes we even have a tendency to take on the looks of those with whom we associate. Not long ago, we were talking about a husband and wife that had been married for 50 years or more. And the comment was made about them, had you noticed that as they get older, they begin to look more alike? I don't really think technically that's what happens, because the physical characteristics are not that easily changed. But I think they grow so close together and they become so involved in the oneness of that unit in the family that from the viewer's standpoint, and you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, from the viewer's standpoint, we begin to see the characteristics of each in the other. And we begin to see each of them taking on the nature or the character of the other. And so as we bring that over into the spiritual realm, especially remembering that we are married to Christ as His bride, then this idea here is that when we become Christians and we're married to Christ, and especially as we live for Christ, that we take on the character of Christ. Another translation translates it that those who've been baptized into Christ take on the family likeness of Christ. And that's just another way of saying what we've just said. Take on the family likeness of Christ. I think that's basically what is involved in this passage. But the second thing that I want to do tonight is to let the Bible explain to us for itself what is meant, especially by these two little words, put on. What does it mean to put on Christ? Let's look at four passages. Basically, two ideas are involved in these four passages. First, in Romans chapter 13. And I think it would be wise, if you have your Bible, just to turn and look at this, because the gist of the lesson tonight is to look at four areas of Scripture that will tell us in God's terms and in God's words what's meant when He says we are to put on, that we are to put on Christ. In Romans, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The last time that he says put on here, he more or less says the same thing as Galatians 3:27. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he emphasizes in that verse that what he's talking about is not so much of a fleshly nature as it is dealing with spiritual ideas. But back up to verse 12. Put on the armor of light. Hold your finger at that place and go with me over to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians 6, verse 11, the verse starts with the two words, put on. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now here are two passages that say about the same thing. Put on the armor of light, Romans 13:12, and put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6 and verse 11. And I submit to you that verse 11 tells us why we need to put on Christ in the sense of putting on an armor. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Putting on clothing, as we said, clothed with Christ, even taking upon ourselves the qualities that we see in the life of Christ. Both are involved in the idea that we're going to protect ourselves against the wiles of the devil, that we're involved in a battle, and we're getting ready for that battle. If we were going out in a battle here on earth, we would make provisions, and many times we might put on protective armor. You've noticed as you've watched some of the pictures about those things that are going on in Iraq, that many times there are the soldiers who will put on bulletproof vests or maybe other parts of clothing that are put on and worn with the idea of stopping that which might harm them. Stopping that which is aimed in their direction. And that, I believe, is the idea that is here. Put on the armor and put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Perhaps more than we have in the past, we need to realize that the work of Christianity is something that involves a battlefield. In our vacation Bible school, we sang about being in the army of God, being in the army of Christ. And we began to try to get this idea in the minds of our young people that there is a fight on our hands. And when you analyze a war situation or a fighting situation or a battle set of circumstances before us that involves a battle, you realize that there is the offensive and there is the defensive approach. If all we did in a battle was just defend where we are, we might never win the battle. But if we go out with the offensive without defending ourselves, again, we might lose the battle. It is that right combination of moving out to conquer and standing up to defend that will win the battle and eventually win the war. And that's what's involved in the war that's being talked about here. How are we going to stand against the wiles of the devil? By putting on Christ. And here he says that means to put on the armor. Now let's go back to Romans 13 and look at two or three ideas that are associated with this. First of all, he calls it the armor of light. Light is used in the Bible to represent truth, goodness. Darkness is used to represent evil and the bad side of the matter. So he says when you put on Christ, you need to put on that which is light. And then in verse 13, the first part of it gives us an idea that's very important. Let us walk honestly as in the day. I submit to you that putting on Christ means that we put on the truth and we put on an honest approach to life. And that we deal with things in a manner of integrity, that's putting on Christ. And then when we go to Ephesians 6, most of you are familiar with the details that are given later in this chapter. Put on the whole armor of God. And he comes on down to mention truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, all of these as being a part of the specific parts of the armor that the person is to put on. And so when you and I are baptized into Christ and we put on Christ, these are the qualities that need to be put on to stand against the wiles of the devil, especially truth and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We are impressed, I think, with the fact that even Jesus, when meeting the devil in the temptation setting, quoted Scripture and said, "Thus it is written." There's a tendency in our time for us to become so busy with other matters that we do not put the personal time and personal effort to the study of God's Word, to know God's Word, where we can answer and we can give exactly what the Word of God says about it. When we're asked questions or when we are attacked, if you please, from different angles as the devil makes his attack, if we are armed with the truth of God's Word, if we have put on the gospel armor and we are wearing Jesus Christ and we let Him become the one who does the answering through His Word, we can withstand the wiles of the devil. I really believe that there is not a question that can be asked, but that there is an answer to be found in the Word of God. And that there is no problem that arises, but that there is a solution given in God's Word. Our problem is that we may not know God's Word well enough, we may not know where things are, and we may not know how to use those areas when we find them, to stand against the devil. But one of the basic ideas that is definitely involved in putting on Christ is to put on the armor and to realize that there is a fight on our hands. And that we must be offensive to go out and win the battle, and defensive enough to stand for the truth and to stand against the wiles of the devil. So when Galatians 3:27 says, as many as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, at least involved in that is putting on the gospel armor, to take a stand with Christ and to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you're still there in Ephesians, turn back one page, or maybe even on the same page that you are, to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Here is one of the two passages that we shall consider that talks about put on in another light. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, baptized into Christ and put on Christ. What does he mean? Well, here God's word says you are to put on the new man. Over in Colossians, just a few pages from this, at chapter 3 and verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now, here are two passages that say that the put on that we are doing when we put on Christ involves putting on the new man. What does that mean? Well, let's just go to these passages and look. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Put on the new man. Verse 25 says that means you put away lying and speak truth. Verse 26 says that means you keep your wrath and anger under control, especially not letting it go till the next day. Verse 28 says it means that you don't cheat and steal, but that you work and labor in order to have those things that you need. Verse 29 says it means that you watch your words, so that no corrupt communication proceeds out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You watch your words so that you don't say the bad things, and that you do say the good things. That's involved in putting on the new man. And then especially in verse 32, he says putting on the new man means to be kind one to another, to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We have a tendency sometimes to exercise more kindness toward strangers than we do toward those whom we love. Case of proof. Husband and wife are fussing at each other, maybe even calling each other names. The doorbell rings. They stop. One of them goes to the door, and there is a rank stranger there that's never been met before, who is treated with kindness in the conversation. He leaves, the door is shut, and the one turns around, and they begin being unkind to each other again. Sometimes even in the work of the church, we have a tendency to not express ourselves in kindness to each other as much as we do to those who are not even Christians that we meet in the workplace, in the community, and otherwise in life. And then there is this idea of forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I submit to you that all of this that is said in the latter part of the fourth chapter of Ephesians has to do with the idea that's presented in verse 24 of putting on the new man. And that all of this is involved in what it means to become a Christian and to act as a Christian by having put on Christ at the time we are baptized. Now let's go back or go further in the Bible to Colossians 3 again, verse 10. The second place it says, put on the new man. And then look a little bit later in this chapter, particularly at verse 12. Again, the words put on. But he goes into detail and he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. And in verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity. You may notice put on there is in italics, which means not in the original, but the very reading of the passage itself that ties into the other verses indicates that. He's telling you, put on these things. Verse 10, put on the new man. What do you mean? Verse 12, put on these qualities. Verse 14, especially put on love and charity in your dealings with other people. Some versions translate the first part of verse 12 there with the word compassion. Put on compassion. Oh, how we need that in our dealings with each other. And oh, how much of it we would have if we really put on Christ. Is there a greater example anywhere of compassion than the life of Christ and the attitude of Christ? I don't think so. He had compassion on those even that were putting him to death and asked for their forgiveness. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, forgiveness. All of these are qualities of character that would be involved in that translation that says that when we've done this, we've taken on the character of Christ. What does it mean to take on the character of Christ? The Bible explanation is that it means these very things. And then he sums it up there in verse 14 by saying, put on love and put on charity. Here's what we've said tonight. Here's what I want you to take home with you. To put on Christ in Bible terms is to put on the armor to stand against the devil, and to put on the qualities of Christ to show them in our lives each day. That's fairly simple, and yet it's profound. It's fairly simple to say. It may not be so easy to do, but I'm convinced that that's exactly what is meant by that phrase, put on Christ. Do what? Put on the armor and be ready to stand for the Lord, and put on the qualities of character and be ready to treat other people like the Lord treated people. And I say to you tonight that if we do that, we're not going to go far wrong. We're going to have so much better lives, and we'll make the world a much better place in which to live. If we put on what we need to stand against the devil and put on what we need to serve others, especially with compassion and kindness. And when we emphasize the invitation of our Lord and encourage people to come to Him and to live for Him, this is the kind of life that we're encouraging people to live. When we persuade you and encourage you to be baptized into Christ, we're encouraging you to put on Christ. And when we encourage you to take a look at your life to see if you've really lived for Him and you find that you're not, we're encouraging you to come back and straighten out your clothing, straighten out the wrinkles, and once again, live as though Christ could be seen in your life. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, to stand against the devil and to live with the qualities with which he lived. The question is, have you put on Christ? Have you been baptized for the remission of sins? And if you have put him on, have you kept your apparel up to date, clean and neat, in such a way that Christ can be seen in your life? What a wonderful thing it is to be able to become a Christian and put on Christ and wear him each day that we live. If you haven't done that, if you are not doing that, come to Christ and put him on as together we stand and sing.